Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you mind?
We out here.
Sorry.
P-Money.
Sorry,
L-Money.
My colleague just said something unbelievably offensive off air, and I would like to distance myself from those comments.
Who?
You, Luke Moore. He didn't really.
Nah.
Luke Moore on the Luke and Pete Show, Pete Donaldson with you as well. It is a Monday, and we're in a green leather-bound room.
Rich mahogany table.
Rich mahogany table.
Pete, I'm only going to call you P-Money from now on.
Why?
Because you were Donny, been PD.
Yeah.
I think P-Money's the natural next step.
The natural evolution Pokemon style.
Yeah.
P-Money.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, my life's work is very much to give away all of my money.
Yeah, exactly.
Booked my flights for America for the Ramble Live Tour last night.
Yeah.
Because I was eschewing the ones that were provided to us because they were not convenient for me.
I haven't even got the details about that.
No.
All right, well,
They couldn't move them. So I was like, right, I'll book myself. Gosh darn it.
Pay your own money. Pay your own way.
Pay me your money. Can't take it with you, as they say.
Big news in Luke and Pete world,
right?
Is that on Friday night, obviously, Football Ramble Live did a show at Shepherd's Bush Empire. Lots of
fun.
Yeah,
baby.
And Father Moore was there.
Yes, I met Father Moore for the first time. Is that the first time? Maybe the second time.
I think it's the first time you've met him, but it's the first time you've had a beer with him, I think.
Right.
And he spent quite a lot of time insulting you, didn't he?
He said very few words to me. I said, hello, hello, Father Moore. Sorry, I didn't say hello earlier. And he said, you've done quite well for someone with not much upstairs.
Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Yeah.
And in that moment, I found out a lot about Luke Moore.
Yeah.
I think.
But the thing is,
why is Luke how he is?
My dad is a lovely man, and he rang me.
Not at that point.
Well, he was carrying himself with the air very much of a man who'd arrived in London at 3 o'clock and had been in the pub ever since.
Yes.
But on Sunday morning, he called me to apologise about what he said to you. And I said, Dad, don't worry about it. He would have taken it in great spirit. He said, oh, I took the piss out of his haircut and I told him he didn't have much upstairs and I feel bad about it.
If he was that pissed, why would he remember?
I think sometimes people do still remember things, Pete. They're not all blackout drunks like you.
But yeah, I love being a blackout drunk.
But why wasn't your dad there?
Because he lives in the northeast, he'll be at the Newcastle show.
Oh, is he coming to the Newcastle?
Coming to the Newcastle show.
Brilliant.
I mean, he had to really argue the point. I shouldn't have to argue the point, though, Luke, should
about
I? Really?
Why he should be there?
Yeah, sort of saying you are literally the only rambler parent who's never been asked to come and watch us fucking do stuff.
Yeah. What did he say to that? Who's this?
He went, I wouldn't understand any of it.
New phone, who this?
New phone, who did this? He said, I wouldn't understand any of it. I said, well, it doesn't matter. It's 2 hours of your life, Dad.
Yeah.
Give it up. Give me some of your time, baby.
He's normally in bed as well, isn't he, at that point?
He is usually in bed. So, I mean, that's probably part of it as well. But, yeah, they're going to come up, stay in a hotel, maybe have a bit of breakfast with them, and then I'll be off.
Very nice. My dad doesn't really understand any of it either. He's not really a big football fan,
no.
But I think they still enjoyed it.
Yeah. I did a little dance.
Made a little love.
Get down tonight.
Yeah, it was a good night. People should still get tickets now. There's about 7 or 8 shows left in this country, and then there's 4 shows in the US and Canada. RambleLive.com.
Are we kind of halfway through now?
Yeah.
Past halfway in this country.
We're not past halfway now. I think we will be on Thursday.
Looking forward to doing more shows. I you know what? It was a bit of a... 2 weeks in, I was like, wow, I don't really know how recording artists do this every night, because it's really... I finish and I'm drained, completely drained.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Pretty exhausting, but... And, you know, how do people fit in drug abuse and alcohol abuse in between
I think that's why
why they do
that
it
happens. I mean, I remember, I don't think I'll say the name of the band because I don't want to get someone in trouble. But a friend,
Black Eyed Peas.
It wasn't the Black Eyed Peas.
Right.
A friend of mine managed quite a big band.
N-dubs.
Kind of quite a big, influentially very, very important band if you're into that kind of stuff. And they were a five piece. Can you stop scratching your shoulder? It's unsettling me.
Why?
What are you doing?
I don't know. It's got itch.
Stop picking at your own skin. It's weird.
Why?
Just do it later.
I'll do what I want.
And he said it was a nightmare because they were a five piece and a couple of them were really into getting pissed all the time.
Right.
One of them was into cocaine and speed and the other two were into heroin. Just like they never wanted to do the same thing at the same time for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
This is just an absolute disaster. It was
like
impossible.
Us?
No, not really.
In many ways.
Yeah, but we don't take any drugs, do we? So it doesn't make any difference. We kind of like our
take
own
a
space.
I take a lot of Sudafed, like Donald Trump. Have you seen he's got European strength Sudafed in his bag?
And it's in his drawer, wasn't it? His drawer was full of Sudafed. And the only stuff you can get in Europe, because apparently it's not available in the US.
Yeah, pseudoephedrine is very harshly regulated because you can make amphetamine.
Yeah.
What's the one that Walter White and all those?
Meth.
I think you can make meth out of some variant as well. So if you ever try and buy Sudafed in America, it's weaker and it's not as good, and you've got to go to a pharmacist and go through loads of hoops.
That's why you got to flip to a methylamine cook.
But very interesting. Like, because he's obviously famous for being very sniffy, and that's exactly what Sudafed. Does whenever he does a big speech, he's always like that, and that's what Sudafed does. It just turns all of the snot into very thin, watery fluid. So you're just constantly going.
So basically, presumably to unblock your passages.
Yeah, but he's taking it for a high because it's just. But I'm just getting the proper drugs, mate.
Yeah,
I'm sure the president's doctor could prescribe something a little bit more interesting than Sudafed, for crying out loud.
I bet you'd be able to get like quality cocaine.
You'd be able to get like some amazing medicinal nonsense. Yeah. Lovely old job.
Speaking of methamphetamine, have you seen El Camino?
I've not. No, I was supposed to be. I was planning on watching it because I was supposed to be interviewing Jesse.
Oh, were you? Aaron Paul? That'd be interesting.
I've had a few interviews lately that have cancelled. I mean, they've cancelled like company wide, so Magic haven't got the interview. Planet Rock haven't got their interview, Kerrang haven't got their interview, etc., etc.
Right.
But he cancelled. The It cast, It Chapter 2 cast cancelled as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Why don't they like me, Luke? What's going on?
How long have you got? How long
Blink
have you got?
Blink 182 on Wednesday.
Have you?
They're a funny couple of
Mimi's
people.
Mimi's favourite. Yeah. El Camino is. I'd quite like you to interview Aaron Paul because I'd like to know what he's like. He seems lovely.
I've interviewed him before. He's nice.
He's nice.
Nice chap. He was a bit of a child kind of it boy for a little while. He was a child, he hung out with Michael Jackson a bit weirdly.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Less said about that, the better.
Yes.
El Camino, I found, I'm not going to spoil it, people, so if you're listening and you haven't seen it, well, first I'll give you a quick praise of what it is.
El Camino's a van, isn't it?
It's a type of car, yeah. Mm. And it's a standalone feature length, I suppose, episode / movie made, written and directed by Vince Gilligan, who created Breaking Bad. Mm. It's about what happens to Jesse post Breaking Bad. I'm not going to spoiler it. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's good. But a couple of observations from me that are spoiler free, hopefully, is that I was fascinated by the tempo and the pace of it and the tone of it. And I'll tell you why. Vince Gilligan, of course, made Breaking Bad, then he made Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul is one of the slowest paced TV shows I've ever seen. Mm. It's more of like a character study show rather than anything that's driven by any kind of discernible plot, in my opinion. And the reason I found this El Camino interesting in that context is because if you watched the very first episode of Breaking Bad, the pilot, I understand why this is the case, because if you want to get a show commissioned, you have to kind of set it up, show people what you're trying to do, pack a lot in, and it has to be, people have to kind of buy into it, right? So if generally speaking, pilot episodes, which then go on to be broadcast pilots, are quite action-packed and lots of stuff happens. But if you watch that, go back and rewatch that first episode of Breaking Bad. I think it's just called Pilot. The amount of stuff that happens in it in 1 hour is unbelievable. It's unbelievably fast. I mean, it's the whole premise of the show, and it's an old show, so I'm not sort of concerned about spoiling this particular part. He finds out he's got cancer. He goes on a drug bust with his brother-in-law. He sees a news alert on TV. He finds Jesse. He starts cooking meth. Shit starts going wrong. He buys the RV. All this stuff happens in one episode.
Yeah.
Now, if you go and watch Better Call Saul, and in this case, El Camino, it's like it's been written and directed by a completely different person. Mm. But the only thing that's sort of linking it back is, of course, the characters and the setting and, and the plot, or the post-plot. I find that fascinating that someone in that amount of time can completely reinvent and change themselves as a writer and a director. I don't. It's baffling to me.
Isn't that what you want to do, though? But you can't. You need to earn that agency. You need to earn that trust from the people who write the checks, effectively.
Sure. Maybe what you're suggesting, that's what he wants to do all along, but he couldn't.
Think, yeah, exactly.
But I don't think it's better, Pete, personally.
Well, I mean, it's, but I would say one of, I think probably the best TV show in history, probably Mad Men, and that is a very, very ponderous show where nothing happens, so that when something slightly out there happens, you're like, fuck!
Yeah.
It, you know, you earn the punches, you earn the big set pieces, I think, a lot more.
I couldn't really...
A man gets his foot run over by a bloody lawnmower. Bang! Shit!
I couldn't really get with Mad Men.
It's brilliant.
First few seasons wonderful. I liked, but wonderful. I kind of lost interest. For me, it's Breaking Bad, it's The Sopranos, and it's The Wire, my faves.
Dad. You're such a dad.
I'm a dad.
Dad in waiting.
I'm like a dad without any kids. I was speaking of El Camino as well, and Breaking Bad. Robert Forster sadly passed away last week, famous as the bail bondsman in Jackie Brown. He's nominated for an Oscar for that. He's brilliant in Breaking Bad. He plays the...
Is he very tall? Or he look always looked very
quite tall.
Tall.
Amazing face. He kind of got he's in the Tommy Lee Jones ballpark in terms of face. he's in the Twin Peaks reboot as well. Like a really thoughtful actor. Like it's, another fascinating aspect of that. He plays a character in Breaking Bad, a really interesting character. It's kind of a, I call it like an extended cameo, I suppose. And but one of the things fascinating, he's clearly such a brilliant actor, Oscar nominated. Before he got rediscovered through Quentin Tarantino with Jackie Brown, he's just acting in B movies.
Yeah,
it's quite weird that, isn't it? How it's like there for the grace of God go so many different actors. You could have. I'm pretty sure John Travolta was down and out before he got back with Pulp Fiction, right?
Yes,
it can kind of happen for actors that way, can't it?
Well, you got to be discovered somewhere, but. George Clooney.
No, but Travolta's done all this stuff before, of course. Saturday Night Fever and all the rest of it. And in 93, 94, whenever he comes back with Pulp Fiction. Who are you going to say there?
I was thinking I look at Mark Hamill. He was doing things like video games like Wing Commander and the voice of Joker. And then obviously
he
slides back into Star Wars. He's not been given any other roles in anything else, I don't think. But very interesting.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, check out El Camino. It's definitely worth watching.
As my dad texted me at 7 in the morning on Saturday, just finished El Camino. I'm seriously thinking about watching the full series of Breaking Bad again.
Yeah.
I think I might be a recovering meth head after one small hit.
It made me fall back in love with the Breaking Bad universe again. And it made me realise that actually Albuquerque, I've never visited it, but Albuquerque is as much a character in that show as any of the actors are. I mean, the setting to it is so important, isn't it?
Where's and Albuquerque? Is that
it's in New Mexico, Mexico yeah. Right. And this is like an absolutely fascinating place, you know. I think that's it from me on TV shows. Have you been watching Succession, right?
Been bashing through Succession.
It's good. I'm about halfway through the second season at the moment.
He did.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was written by the guy who created Peep Show.
He did, yeah.
Jesse
One
Armstrong?
One of them, yeah, Jesse Armstrong. Is it Jesse Armstrong's Sam Baines? I think Jesse Armstrong's doing his own thing now.
Armstrong's the one who definitely won the creative Succession. Yeah, I think Brian Cox is a brilliant actor as well. Fantastic.
It's very good. Again, great cast. Nobody is. There's just it's very rare where literally nobody's a redeemable figure. Is that? Maybe it just reflects society. No one is likable in that show at all. Maybe Greg.
Greg, yeah, Greg's funny.
Greg the idiot.
I like the guy who does this kind of accent in it.
That's Matthew McFadden. He's brilliant.
He used to be in Spooks.
Isn't he Darcy in Pride and Prejudice as well? He's brilliant in it. He's so funny. He's so weird.
So,
he's just
but
very,
then Greg
very well
has quite a similar voice, but it's kind of like quite similar voices.
It's got a bit of the West Wing about it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, look, if you've got any thoughts on any of that kind of stuff, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We didn't plan to do a little TV special.
TV
at the
roundup?
Start, but
I like a little TV roundup.
But we kind of fell into that. So
I'm really I'm trying to get to see the Tim Heidecker Mr. America, where he tries to run for district attorney, I want to say. But obviously he can't because he has no legal background at all. But it's he announces it, it's this big PR push. You can see it on YouTube, you can watch it on Amazon, you can watch it on iTunes, you can watch it on Google Play. None of these options are available in the United Kingdom.
Bloody Kingdom.
It's a piss take. It's like Is it the new Disney stuff?
Is he Tim and Eric? Is he Tim from Tim and Eric?
Yeah, Tim and Eric. Yeah.
Okay, right.
It looks really good, actually. The trailer looks really good. Some of his stuff is a bit hit and miss, but this looks all right. But yeah, like I'm just tired of like look at how Disney has dealt with the Star Wars stuff. Is it the Midichlorian? No, whatever the Boba Fett set piece show is going to be.
Yeah,
everyone's very excited about that. Yeah. Is he?
I can't remember. Not the word you mean.
Not midichlorian is a thing in their blood, isn't it?
But starts with an M.
Midichlorian. Either way, all of that stuff's happening, and they're not going to release. I'm fairly certain they're not going to release the new Disney Channel Star Wars stuff in the UK for like half a year after it comes out in the US. Are you kidding me? If you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to torrent it. You're going to watch it illegally. That's insane.
Mandalorian. Why do you think they've done that?
Just a really old school view of how the fucking world works. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Back in the 90s, it used to be all the rage. Like, I remember going to the US on holiday with my parents, and like you'd get a film
that wouldn't
and,
be
like,
out for
9 months later, you'd be back in the UK, and you're like, oh, that film, I saw that already. And you'd be like the coolest kid in school for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then you go back to being bullied again. Let's have a quick break. And after that, we'll do some emails.
Yeah. I took my holidays in Filin Scarborough. Very little.
Oh, can
film
I just
action.
Say, I took 99% of my holidays in Minehead in Somerset, and my dad got made redundant.
Yeah.
We got a bit of money. Yeah. We spent it on a holiday to Florida.
Yeah.
It was a recklessly irresponsible thing to do.
Well, I hope he's rude to the Americans moving over there.
No, but now I've got an American wife.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Get your hand off my penis!
Get your hand off his penis!
Julian Assange there.
That is his penis. That is his business. Don't touch it, for crying out loud.
Good
it will
hear.
Bite your hand off.
Good to hear from Julian. We had loads of emails about robots this week. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. As I keep saying, do not be shy about emailing in. We'd love to hear from you. We talked about robots a week or two ago.
Yep.
Lots of people have emailed in about them and the things that they're already up to. There was a robot chef making omelets in a hotel in Singapore. There's a band called Compressor Head playing Motorhead's Ace of Spades.
I've seen them, they look good.
It's actually quite terrifying because they're perfectly in time.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a bit,
they know what they're
bit
doing.
Weird and loads more. Pete,
can I interest you in this quick headline?
Go on.
Do you want to read it out?
Yeah. Police robot told woman to go away after she tried to report crime, then sang a song. What more do you want from your police officers?
Not dissimilar to actual police officers in some cases.
What song was it?
I don't know.
And one of the guys who came...
Away do birds suddenly appear.
You know I get really into things, right?
Right.
It just reminded me. At Shepherd's Bush Empire, one of the guys who... I don't really know how he was in the bar afterwards because I think it was like a wristband affair, but he was there anyway. Good on him. Nice fella. I think he was called Mark. He was a police sergeant. And he started talking to me that he was a police sergeant. And so, you know, I get quite into stuff. So I just kept asking him questions. And
Is this a crime?
Yeah. So I was
Is this a crime?
Touching him there. Is that a crime? And I said to him, how do you view it when like people swear at you or whatever? Because sometimes it's like, he says, to be honest, it's all about context.
Yeah.
So if you sang a song in his face, then perhaps he wouldn't arrest you. But if it was a sweary song, maybe he would. But he was telling me that there's an old law that a pregnant woman can take a slash in his helmet. Have you heard that story?
Yeah, he said it's true.
And he says what happens is a lot of people, when they're out at night and they're having a bit of fun and there's a pregnant woman there, everyone always wants them to have a photo with the helmet. And he generally lets them do it. But if you resist to steal his helmet, of course, then you get in trouble for that. But anyway, this email I wanted to start with this time around, Pete, is from James. And it's very remiss of me not to follow up on this myself, but James has done the hard work for us and has picked up on this from a show a week or two ago. He says, "Hi guys, big fan of the show, but I wanted to highlight something that I think was unfairly skipped over in the last episode. Off the back of Mo's overloaded email about taking his cat to Italy." Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
"Pete offered the solution of, in quotes, disguising the cat as a dog. As there was a lot to discuss in that email, I feel this got lost a bit, so I'd like to ask Luke to get Pete to clarify exactly how he'd do this, and if it failed, what other animals would he attempt to pass the cat off as at the border?" That's
right.
From James. So you said the easy solution to this cat problem is to disguise the cat as a dog. What are you doing?
I would put glue on the cat's nose.
Okay, already that's horrific. Oi.
It would be shiny.
Arguably their most important sense.
Is it? No.
Hearing and sniff.
Cat's eyes, aren't they?
No. Now you're in something here. Long distance only.
Right.
Cat's long distance vision is fantastic. And night vision is good.
That's why sheep's eyes are like wide. Cow's eyes are wide, aren't they?
So they, close up there, eyes are rubbish. So what are you doing with the glue on their nose?
To make it look shiny, like a shiny dog's nose.
Yeah.
Clip their little whiskers.
They don't grow back.
What?
No, they can't
grow
fit
back.
No, they
shut
can't,
up.
Now they can't fit through gaps.
They're whiskers. Come on.
Now they can't fit through gaps.
Why? Is that how they figure out?
Do you know that?
Fit through gaps.
You don't know that?
What? They...
A cat's whiskers are exactly the width of their body.
Right.
That's how they use them to see if they can fit through gaps.
Just try and get fit. So you'll never see a cat with a dead stuck in somewhere.
Well, my cat put his head in a hedgehog once and I'd take him to the vet.
His head into a hedgehog?
Face into a hedgehog, yeah.
What was she trying to do?
He.
He.
I don't know, sniff on it. Sniff it, I guess.
A little sniff.
So would you put some floppy ears on it?
Yes, you'd have to extend the ears. When you sort of think about it, I can't sort of think about. I'd put some kind of wagging device on the tail.
Little motor.
Yeah, because cats like a little metronome. I'd attach a metronome to the cat's tail to make it wag.
Voice box.
Oh, yeah. How would you make it sound
like
it was barking?
Listen to me. I haven't got a voice, but you just fucking keep quiet.
Yeah, exactly. I'm struggling to sort of see how...
Sand down its tongue so it's smooth.
No, dogs' tongues are quite...
They're smooth,
rough.
Aren't they?
Nah, they're rough.
I think you find they're smooth.
Nah. Yeah, I've been licked by a dog quite recently.
Have you?
So I have a bit of that.
Tell us more.
How
did you know it was a dog and not a cat disguised as one?
Exactly, I didn't, yeah. In my private life. But yeah, that's
there you go, James. I hope that answers your question.
Don't put glue on cats' noses.
Any part of it.
Yeah.
Wood
glue goes clear after a while, so it would look like its nose is all shiny like a dog's.
My cat's nose is shiny sometimes if it's been outside.
It's because of that pissed.
Yeah.
I got an email from Edward. Hello, Edward. Dear Luke and Pete, off the back of the KFC gravy chat in the last couple of episodes, I thought I'd bring to the table another worrying peep behind the service industry curtain. We spoke about gravy a little while ago.
Yeah, I remember.
Obviously, KFC having like little scraps and stuff in the bottom of the fryer, all of that stuff.
It tastes delicious, but it's apparently horrific.
Well, I had some chip shop curry, baby.
Oh, I love that.
It is, but is it normal to put tiny chunks of fish in there? Because there were definitely tiny chunks of fish in there.
So,
in the curry.
It's really interesting you say that, because we've recently started getting curry sauce from our local fish and chip shop, and I find it goes really well with the fish,
yeah.
Not just the chips, the dip. Obviously, it goes really well with the fish as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's flavoured in some way.
Have a check. And fish curry is a thing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Have a check in your curry sauce, and before you dip chips in it or whatever, that there is fish in it. Because the person I was eating it with, they said, no, there's no fish in this. I said, there's fish. I can taste it. So maybe they do just put scraps in there just to flavour it up a bit.
Yeah.
Lovely.
That's what gravy's all about, right? My mum makes her gravy in the meat pan first,
where she's
roasted the meat. So that's obviously getting a lot of meat in there.
Decent. Ed Hodge says, having worked in the kitchen of a bar belonging to a large and famous chain, I know about the shortcuts that some of these places take. However, the worst I've heard of is in Wetherspoons, where a friend of mine who once worked there told me that the fried eggs are delivered to the kitchen pre-cracked, pre-fried and frozen, ready to be heated up in the microwave.
There's no need for that.
I don't know how you do it. Like, I know, like, don't McDonald's, they get delivered like that? Or they maybe they're just cooked in, like, a circular kind of thing to make them particularly uniform. But frozen, ready to be heated up in the microwave, that seems...
The thing is...
It's the easiest thing in the world, surely,
yes.
to make an egg. Out of all the fried breakfast items,
also,
a fried egg, easiest.
Depends on the size of your microwave. But I'm thinking that if you've... It's just laziness, because I haven't got the details, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say it probably takes about 3 minutes to fry an egg.
Yeah.
If you've got a big hot plate, which they will have at a kitchen,
yeah,
you could do 15 of them at the same time.
Hugely.
What's the point of that?
I can't really figure it out.
Brexit Wetherspoons, they hate themselves and they hate you. Don't go in there. Last time I went to Wetherspoons, it made me sick.
Why?
The beer made me sick. I had 3 pints in there and it made me sick. I actually literally vomited the next day.
Lightweight. It was continental strength Belgian 12% lager.
I didn't poison the mother.
Oh, I've got an email there. Luke,
yes,
to round us off.
What about this from Joe? This is a really good one. And it's got so good that I've written a little note saying, is this true? Please get in touch and confirm this, because it's no disrespect to Joe. I'm sure he is speaking the truth.
Yes.
But I would like to get this confirmed because it seems mad. He says, hi guys, I'm going to go straight into this one. As it's a little lengthy, but there's a place in Idaho known colloquially as the Yellowstone Zone of Death.
Oh no.
And due to the way justice must be served as stated in the US Constitution, at this location it's technically possible to get away with any crime. Here's a bit of scene setting. The vast majority of Yellowstone is in Wyoming, but a tiny sliver of land just crosses the border into Idaho, and this is where things start to get interesting. Let's say you do a little murder in the Idaho section.
A little bit of the murder.
Just a little bit. Oh, a little bit of the murder. Mm. The district court that oversees Yellowstone resides entirely within the state of Wyoming, even though your murder location is in Idaho. And this is the crux of the quirk. If you're caught, which shouldn't bother you because you can't be convicted, you'd be arrested and taken to Wyoming to be tried. The US Constitution, however, demands that any trial should be held in the state where the crime itself was committed, which in this case should be Idaho. So you demand your constitutional right to be tried back in Idaho, where they then take you, because it's your legal right. A local jury would then be called up, but herein lies the next problem. The Constitution states that an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime should have been committed is required. In this case, the state is Idaho, but the district is Wyoming. Wyoming is therefore eliminated, and all jurors must be called from the small 50-mile square region of Idaho. For you, the murderer, this works out very well, because zero people, no one, live there. It's federal land. No one's allowed to live there.
Right.
Therefore, unless you allow them to try you in Wyoming, which you don't have to do, you legally cannot be tried at all.
That's insane.
All the best and happy murdering, Joe.
Thank
I'm going to take you there, Danson.
The you know, like the system here at Stakhanov headquarters,
yeah.
HQ, stuff like the printer, stuff like the playout iPad, stuff like the capture device that records our beautiful tones.
Yeah.
Right now, the system's changed over the past couple of years. So it's, you know, the things that worked about a year ago probably don't work now. So we've had to update our documents and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think the Constitution is fit for purpose nowadays? It just seems to me...
Well, it's got full of amendments, of course.
Yeah, I know, but like, just start again. Just go, look, this is how we're going to do things. Let's start with a new Constitution that works in 2019. Let's do it.
It's an interesting point, because I've often thought that the Ten Commandments, people talk about the Ten Commandments and say how they're amazing and they're really kind of a great way to live and everything. And it always makes me think a couple of things. One is, have you read the Ten Commandments? Because a lot of them are fucking irrelevant, right? Like, thou shall not, what is it? Thou shall not make unto thee any graven image.
Yeah.
It doesn't really come up very often. Thou shalt not covet neighbour's wife. That's problematic. Thou shalt not covet neighbour's slaves or animals.
Yeah.
Again, problematic.
Exactly.
A couple of them are good. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Yeah. So it's not really that relevant now.
Well, and even then, there are 10 million different interpretations of those particular laws and 10 million ways of writing them, which infers different meanings.
And people will say, oh yeah, but they're written by people in the Iron Age and everything like that. Mm. But that's not the point. The point is there are several people, probably millions of people in this world that live their lives based on those things. And you can think of a better list of commandments in about 5 minutes.
Mm.
Treat people as you want to be treated. Be kind.
Mm.
Be generous. Be all these kind of things. So perhaps you're onto something there, but I would say the Constitution's got several amendments to it, and it probably does work. It was designed to be an imperfect document. Mm. It was designed to be knocked about and for people to argue about it and that's kind of one of the cornerstones of American democracy, I think. But it only works, of course, I think, when you've got people in power and in place to implement it honestly and properly. And of course, that doesn't happen now.
No.
Because America doesn't have elections. That has fucking auctions. And that is hugely problematic. However, I mean, I would like people to get in touch and tell us whether you can do what Joe's suggesting you can do there. I don't want anyone to do it.
Has anyone done it?
That would be the next question. Mm. That would be the next question.
Has anyone
question.
Tested that particular thing?
I'd like to be a test case. if it goes well, I'm good. Yeah. If it goes bad, I'm going to be sentenced to death.
Exactly.
High risk. There you go.
High risk people.
Interesting email, though, nonetheless.
Hugely. I would like to just have one commandment. I'll be a tit. And that covers everything.
That'd be a tit.
That does cover everything.
A bit rich.
What do you mean? I'm not saying I'm following any of them.
Well, hang on a minute.
What?
Sometimes you are a tit.
Just because I've written them doesn't mean I have to, you know, I'm just saying that the whole Christian faith can be summed up, don't be a tit. That squares away everything, really, doesn't it? Don't be a tit.
Not really, because it depends on other people's interpretation of how you... Everyone's different, aren't they?
Yeah, but what is...
What about treat people...
What is coveting?
Treat people as you wish to be treated.
What is... Yeah, don't be a tit.
Yeah, right. You've condensed it down to four words.
Yeah,
and we all know what this episode is going to be called this week.
No tittery.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tit equals band.
Tit equals bad. Right, let's get out of here, Luke, because we've got things to do. We'll be back on Thursday with more Luke and Pete Show fun. See you in a bit.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined... a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.